Hello, Polytopians. Thanks for tuning into the Polytopian Times. I'm your host, Sam, and today I'm joined by Hawthorne.
Hey, guys.
Hey. And we are going to be going over another tier list. The second tier list the Polytopian Times has covered, the Standard Tribe Unit Tier List. So let's dive right on in. Everybody has to play with these units, so... You know, I think they are ubiquitous enough to make their own separate tier list. Let's do it.
You don't have to play with them. Some of them you don't even have to build ever, like the Mindbenders.
Yeah, I mean, technically you could avoid them permanently, but you know, they're part of the roster, and pretty much everyone has one, so I kind of got to include them.
Yeah.
Well, let's start off at the bottom with D tier. First off, we have the Mindbenders. Speaking of rather useless units, they cost you 5 stars, but they only have 10 health, no attack, only 1 defense, and 1 movement. They do have the heal ability and the convert ability, but they don't have dash, so you're still going to have to wait a turn before you can use your convert ability. So overall, I don't know, seems pretty obvious that they're not the greatest. They're kind of D tier. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there are some units they just physically cannot attack.
Yeah.
They just can't convert them.
Because, right.
You know, any time that unit gets next to them, like, for instance, knights.
Yeah.
My Mindbender taking over a knight. I wonder if there's, like, metrics on that, looking at you, Midjuan. How many times a Mindbender has ever, you know, Mindbended a knight? No. So Mindbenders really are only part of the game offensively against a specific subset of units.
Yeah. Now that's fair. And, you know, same even with ranged units. I mean, good luck trying to, you know, convert an archer who can just back it one tile away and then shoot you infinitely.
Yeah, and then the heal ability really is, you know, you're given the option to trade mobility for that. So, super impressed with Mindbenders.
Right. And again, to be fair, I don't believe you can heal after you move, so you still got to just position yourself for Field Hospital and go through setup first. So, yeah.
One thing I do like about the Mindbenders, though, is that bots just love making chains of Mindbenders for Mindbenders. Yeah. I absolutely love that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing better for your knights. You can vet them immediately when you get in the city and clear out so many stars in the process. Yeah, you just immediately go positive in one turn, right?
Yeah. I wonder if there's a way to, like, check whether you're making cost. Like, whether you're, like, if there's a stat, this is how many stars you've spent on units, this is how many stars you're killing.
Ooh, that would be cool to see. Some sort of economy graph at the end of your game, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe in the future. Well, let's move on to the next and final D-tier unit, the boat. So, I mean, yeah, they don't cost you anything to make, next to maybe, you know, the cost of a port, but you get population out of it anyway, so it didn't really factor in the cost of making the boat. So they're free. They do have the original unit's health, so it could be 10 health, could be 15, could be 40, really depends on what you embark. They only have 1 attack and 1 defense, though, so no matter what you embark, it's almost certainly going to take a nerf to its stats, unless maybe it's a Mindbender, in which case now it's slightly better, but that's just how bad Mindbenders are.
Yeah.
It does have 2 movement and 2 range, so it's something, but yeah. And it has the carry, dash, and float abilities. But yeah, it's solid D tier. Just, I mean, yeah, you can spam them out, but it's really doesn't serve any purpose beyond being maybe an early game nuisance and potential invasion force, a cheap way to explore, and as a meat shield in the mid game. By the late game, they're really, I mean, it's the cheapest way to meet, maybe make a meat shield, but it just seems like not the best way to go about it at that point.
Yeah, I mean late game, if you're making a meat shield, you're going to want a mobile meat shield, so it kind of becomes a lot better to use ships.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, let's move up to the C tier. And first off, we've got the Defender. And they cost 3 stars at 15 health, 1 attack, 3 defense, 1 movement, and the Fortify ability. I mean, they're beefy. they're the cheapest beefy thing that you can get that has 15 health. They don't have any attack really though, but great defense as in the name. And with Fortify, they're excellent for defending cities on the cheap. They can be turned into obviously defender ships, which are, I mean, better than warrior ships by far. It's the best way to whip up a cheap yet effective navy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's good you put them in C tier, because I think people, based on their experience with bots, build too many of these in games.
Yeah. Yeah, they do have their purpose, but at the end of the day, if you're going to spam a melee-style unit, just spend two more stars and get swords that you pay back immediately.
Yeah, I mean, unless your swords are just never engaging, like if you're up against, I don't know, knights or something, and they're never getting the first hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, you can use defenders against knights, but it's a niche use. And again, you don't want to fall into a defensive hole that you can't struggle out of either. If your opponent can just rush knights constantly, then they can probably move up, I don't know, a catapult or two behind said knights and start to soften up the enemy line.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's worse than the aggro hole is getting into the aggro hole where all of your units are basically immobile.
Yeah. It just gets stuck in place, and it's beyond infuriating. Well, moving on to the next C tier unit, we have the catapult. Catapults cost 8 stars. They have 10 health, 4 attack, 0 defense, 1 movement, and 3 range. So, I mean, the longest range in the game, and one of the highest attack values, but literally no defense and no abilities to speak of whatsoever. They just shoot stuff far away really hard. And, I mean, they have their value for it, but without dash, it takes a while for them to set up. They're slow and very vulnerable at just getting yeetus deleted off the map.
Yeah, and their effective range, people forget this, but their effective range is the same as an archer.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally fair, at least in terms of retaliation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just they have their uses, absolutely. But in general, they are just not as versatile or useful throughout the game as much as, say, our first B-tier and only B-tier unit, the Archer. Speaking of them, they cost 3 stars. They have 10 health, 2 attack, 1 defense, 1 movement, 2 range, and the fortify and dash ability. So, I mean, they're your first unit that can shoot at a distance. You do get a defense bonus when you get the tech that gives you them too, which is nice. And at the end of the day, with dash and, you know, ranged attacks, you really can't get anything better than that combination. It's great for both being on the attack and on the defense. The only thing that really makes archers useless is knights. And again, you can use them in combination with, say, swordsmen to counter a knight rush if you can handle a sword screen effectively. They're cheap, so it doesn't, you know, really hurt you so much when you lose them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's our thought on the archer. Nothing too crazy. We're going to move up to A tier, where we have our next two best units. The rider, first off, which costs 3 stars, has 10 health, 2 attack, 1 defense, 2 movement, and the fortify, dash, and escape abilities. I feel like it's definitely an A tier unit, just because one reason makes it better than the archer. You can get more riders into attack a single tile than you can archers, because they can dash away after they attack with their escape ability. And with that heightened movement on a road network, you can just shuttle them in en masse. That's what makes rider spam such an intimidating force in the early and early mid game. Any thoughts on your end?
I'd never thought about that metric, like how many you can get to attack a single tile. But that is kind of crucial mid-game.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you're trying to take over, say, a walled city that has maybe only one warrior in it and not much to support it. Then you just need to get, like, 5 or 6 riders in to clear out the area, and then hopefully not just take it over, but stand in front of the city so an opponent can't get close enough to retaliate.
Yeah, I think the other thing about riders, too, is they're like 1 star more than a warrior, and you can just scooch them into place so that the other person, your opponent, the other guy can't move whatever unit without killing that rider.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they do have great defensive capabilities, being able to, you know, rush in and attack and then run off again down a road network, and then you just heal them up or just dash them in for quick defensive strikes. So very versatile unit. Definitely a solid A tier unit. I think the only reason it doesn't hit an S tier is solely because it cannot survive a knight with persist. If a knight with persist hits, it can wipe out as many riders as it wants. Doesn't matter if they have a defense bonus or not. It can just cut through all of them. And I think that's the ultimate limiting factor that just sort of keeps it from hitting that magic S tier rank and like in terms of total value.
Yeah. The other thing is for two riders, you can get one swordsman, and the economics start to favor the swordsman, I think, you know, later on in the game in some ways.
Yeah. No, that totally does, you know, start working out, especially once you have a few extra stars and you're already spending three on a rider. It just makes sense to,
Yeah.
You got a road network already too, so your swordsman can get places. So yeah. Moving on to the last A tier unit, we have the ship. They cost 5 stars. They have, again, that original unit's health. They have 2 attack, 2 defense, 3 movement, 2 range, and the carry, dash, and float abilities. So they're the better version of boats. They move a little faster, they hit harder, and they can survive being hit, especially once they get aquatism. And with that defense bonus, they get what is effectively 3 defense. So at the sea, they become quite a beefy little defense, especially if you're only, say, using defenders to make your ships, in which case they only cost 8 stars in total, and they can survive quite a few shots from most units, and it becomes a hassle to an opponent while you don't have to spend a lot to make a good number of them.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, like you said, you don't have to spend a lot to make a good number of them. They become a much more mobile meat shield. Kind of like what I was trying to say about the riders earlier.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair. Yeah, you move them in where you need them to, soak up some damage very easily. And again, with that wonderful defense, you know, with the aquatism bonus, they are a beefy meat shield to run into. They do dish some damage back when they take a hit.
The other thing too is, moving them into place gives you more options for where to, like, put your stars. If you bring a bunch of ships into an area and the ships get attacked by catapults or whatever, and you have one that's survived that is, with full health, you could just upgrade that into a battleship. So it's almost like a battleship teleportation beacon that you can move around.
Yeah, no, that absolutely. It's super useful, you know. And again, you've got part of that sunk cost there, just able to soak up hits too. So you can ensure that when you do, you know, switch that one full health ship up, that you've got, you know, some sufficient targets in range, you know, and enough meat shield around ready to sort of make it harder to retaliate against the battleship you just made. If you're going to, say, siege a city, you can just move them up further down a choke point so nobody can get further without, you know, having to first clear them out.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely got a lot of uses. That wraps up our A tier units. We're going to move on to the S tier. And the first unit in the S tier is probably going to be the most controversial unit placement on this list, but I think they deserve S tier status due to their overall value and their bang for their buck. You don't get a single unit that has this much bang for their buck. And that unit in particular is the Warrior. It only costs 2 stars, but you get 10 health, 2 attack, and 2 defense on that, and 1 movement with the Fortify and Dash ability. I mean, this is a unit that can, you know, obviously deal a decent amount of damage and, stand up as a beefy opponent on the field. But it's also the best defensive unit you've got for your cities in the early game before you get, you know, swordsmen or defenders. There's not a single other unit that can defend a city this effectively. So they're going to be rather ubiquitous for most games, and you'd be a fool to ignore their value.
Yeah, and I think it's good that you include some of the weaker units on here. Warriors do have their place late game.
Well, yeah. Let's move on to our next S tier unit, the swordsman. They cost 5 stars, have 15 health, 3 attack, 3 defense, 1 movement, and the Fortify and Dash abilities. They are obviously kind of deserving of their place on the tier list here at S tier. They're very beefy, and they're very strong on the offense at the same time. And they're going to be, honestly, your best option for defending cities, because they can attack things after they do their defensive duties. And that's kind of invaluable. And they're also rather cheap to make, especially compared to, any other tier three unit that's going to, kind of cost you more. Look at catapults or knights. They're going to cost you 8 and 10 stars, respectively. This guy is only 2 stars more than, say, Defender, Rider, or Archer. So,
yeah.
Really good bang for your buck there.
Now, the key with the other thing with swordsmen, too, is that they can kill archers because of their dash ability.
Yes.
Whereas defenders are basically helpless.
They really are. They're just begging to be shot from a range. Or, I mean, if you're really spamming defenders, you can just run into a point where someone sends out a mindbender and you have no way to counter that. You just give them an army for free.
Yeah. The other thing about swordsmen, too, is if you have like an isthmus or a very small area that you need to move through, they're better than defenders. And part of the reason for that is that the dash ability gives them the ability to get maybe one extra movement, and they're just basically tanks. They're the most mobile tank other than the battleships.
Yeah, man, there's not really a way to contend with them easily. Now, our next S tier unit isn't going to surprise anyone else either. It's the Knight. They cost 10 stars, they have 15 health, 3.5 attack, 1 defense, and 3 movement, and the fortified dash and persist abilities. And the persist ability is the reason that they are S tier. Just being able to kill a theoretically limitless number of units makes them the most overpowered unit in the game, arguably. And it kind of factors into even which units are able to place on which spots of the tier list. Riders rank higher, partly too because they can survive knights more readily, able to disperse from each other, thus preventing chains from existing, and again to retreat out of a knight's effective striking range after doing their own attacks with the assistance of roads available to them. Now, archers, on the other hand, for example, can't get away and can't survive, so they're going to rank a little lower than other units. Same with catapults. So that definitely was another factor here. And it's the most dominating ability in the game, in my opinion.
If I could speculate as to the reason, I feel like knights and the persist ability came to be when they were, and I could be wrong about this, but I kind of wonder if a bunch of people were playtesting this and realized that it was just super easy to spam huge amounts of weak units.
That's precisely. It was Mindbender spam, I think, and then maybe Warrior spam, but definitely Mindbender spam and Rider spam. And
that's when this whole persist thing came to be. And now it was meant to
what?
Get rid of something
catapult
bad
spam
and now
too.
Like become overpowered, I think. But
no, it's the catapult spam. That's the biggest reason, I believe, because prior to, if you couldn't kill multiple units a single turn and you had catapults surviving, they could ensure more catapults could get up in range.
The way to test this would be to have a game where everybody makes kind of a gentleman's agreement not to use persist and see what what strategies end up being overpowered as a result.
That's fair. Well, moving on from our second to last S tier unit, we have the battleship, our final S tier unit, which costs 15 stars above the original cost of the 5 stars to make a ship, so technically 20 stars from base. And it has your original unit's health, and 4 attack, 3 defense, 3 movement, 2 range, and the carry, dash, float, and scout abilities, which gives it the same sight as if it were a unit standing on a mountain. So you get an extra tile of vision around your usual single tile border of your unit of vision, which is great for, again, scouting. And it means anywhere you move, you'll immediately be able to hit anything within your sight range because you have a range of 2. So you can see everything you can hit. And with that 4 attack, you're very powerful. It's basically a mobile catapult, but also a beefy mobile catapult. What with that defense, especially with Aquatism at that point, there's basically nothing in the game that can attack it that'll deal more damage than its defensive values. I mean, maybe some boosted units could hit that point, but I think it would be pretty difficult to do so. I don't know. Your thoughts?
Burper. They're beefy. I mean, anyone who's played this game against somebody in the water, like, battleships, I feel like, are there to reward people who get in the water first.
Oh, that's fair. You know, there's...
They're more powerful than any land unit.
Yeah, And I mean, it's one of the reasons that Polaris on drylands can still be hard contenders, because their battleship replacement, very, very similar in performance overall.
Yeah. Speaking of Polaris,
yes,
I would like to add an extra tier.
Oh,
cube tier.
Cube tier. What's what is this?
And in cube tier, we have the Ice Archer, which means it's now an ice cube.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, ice archers, I think, are above all of the other tiers, simply because they can take they have the movement speed of an archer, the range of an archer, and they basically instantly kill any unit. So it's almost like what Mindbenders could have been. It's ranged, it can move quickly, and it just immediately makes whatever unit out there is irrelevant immediately. The other thing about the Ice Archers is that they actually get, you can build them at the beginning, and they actually get more powerful as the game progresses, because the units that they can take out are just that much more expensive than they are. You can spend, I don't know, enough to make 5 Ice Archers, and if only one of them survives and freezes a battleship, it's still worth it.
No, that is totally true. They more than make up for their bang for cost, and the ability to shut down a city's production on the front line is...
They are the apex predator, because, like you said, you can basically... I think there was some talk on the Discord about making a pirates faction that could, like, burn cities. That's the Ice Archer. There's no stopping them. They are the apex predator of Polytopia.
It's truly a beast to fear. I don't know. The only competition for him, might be the Gommies, but you just can't spam Gommies out. Gommies don't have ranged attacks, so
they do not.
No, yeah, it's definitely. That's. I think you're quite correct. There's this cube tier out there for people who enjoy those brutal games where midway through you realize there's no hope of competing, because there are ice banks already churning out like 20 stars per turn, and all of that's just going back into more eco. And then there's swords and battle sleds, ice fortresses, nightmares coming for you.
Yeah, I mean, if all they had was the Ice Archer, people would still play Polaris, I think.
Yeah, it's fair. They really do impact the game in one crazy way. Well, that wraps up our brief episode, the standard units tier list. I definitely want to thank you for joining, as always, Hawthorne.
My pleasure.
Yes, yes. And I hope you guys enjoyed. Thanks, as always, for tuning into the Polytopian Times, and we'll see you next week. Until then, have a good one.